The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on Veritas, we confront one of the most deeply ingrained fears of the modern era. For over 75 years, the world has been held in a collective grip of terror, conditioned to believe in the ultimate weapon of destruction, nuclear bombs. But what if that fear is based on a carefully constructed myth? What if Hiroshima and Nagasaki were not what we've been told? Our guest tonight is Crow from CROW777radio.com, who challenges the mainstream narrative of nuclear weapons. With years of meticulous research and a commitment to uncovering hidden truths, Crow will guide us through the symbolic and occult foundations of the nuclear age. He'll expose the inconsistencies in historical accounts and question the very science behind nuclear fission itself. We'll explore the role of figures like Marie Curie, whose story may have been less about scientific discovery and more about advancing a carefully crafted myth. We'll dissect how media, science, and government worked together to embed this fear into our collective consciousness. But this isn't just about the past. It's about understanding how fear is weaponized to control us, how symbols and archetypes are used to influence our beliefs, and how to make conscious decisions at the crossroads where truth and deception meet. Prepare to challenge everything you think you know, because here on Veritas, truth is our guiding light, even when it leads us into the darkest corners of deception. Crow is coming up next. Welcome to the Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrich. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And the title of this episode is Breaking the Myth, the Truth About Nuclear Weapons and the Fear Narrative. His website is CROW777, that's CROW777radio.com. And after a few years, he's back. Crow, welcome back to Veritas. How are you?
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be back. It's been a long time since we've had a time to talk.
That's right. It's always engaging. It's always great. And this time it won't be an exception. And before we began, I told you for years, I've been trying to discuss this nuclear. Is it a hoax? Is it not? And I briefly discuss it every so often. But I heard you are the person to talk to. You've done a lot of meticulous research for years. And the first question is, why did you even begin looking into this?
You know, I have an odd talent of being able to hear things, maybe not even a full sentence. And I describe it as either the bell rings or the bell doesn't ring. And I know instantly there's a problem. And it doesn't always tell me everything. As a matter of fact, it rarely tells me everything I'd like to know. But I can recognize, pardon my French, BS quite often. And I don't know what put it on my radar, but when I looked at it, I realized this is all nonsense. And as I dug in, everything I found let me know that they never needed a nuclear weapon. They just needed people to believe they had a nuclear weapon.
So take me to 1945, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Everybody thinks, but wait a second, Crow, Mel, there were two bombs that exploded there in Japan, and hundreds of thousands of people died. But then again, I've been thinking for years, okay, so why do they even have a city right now? Full population, buildings, rivers, birds. But then we have, in Ukraine, Chernobyl, that's closed down. So what is the difference here?
It's all psychological operations. It's all social engineering. And Nagasaki and Hiroshima are where I started, actually. And before I get going, I'm going to give you the name of a guest that I just had on my podcast. His name is Michael Palmer. And for people who truly want to know whether this is true or not, and, you know, you shouldn't just take my word or anyone else's. I can give you good information, but it is completely on everybody listening. If you're serious and you want to know, to look into it. Michael Palmer was an MD, chemical engineer, maybe not a chemical something, I've forgotten, and a physicist, very, very smart man. And he wrote a book saying Hiroshima Revisited. So Michael Palmer, get his book, Hiroshima Revisited. But to back up, you started on the right track. There has never been a, well, let me say this. When I was in school, grade school, I was told that when a nuclear weapon went off somewhere, that the radioactive pollution would be there thousands of years. And that was just the half-life. And as I look back through my life, this narrative has changed and changed and changed up to the point where not too long ago, Neil, my you-know-what Tyson, was on Bill Maher telling him that radioactive fallout is no longer a problem. So they've been moving the goalposts, but there has never been a time when there hasn't been people, animals, plants, and water that people were drinking in Hiroshima. Right there, if you honestly consider what I have just said, tells you there's a problem with their narrative. We're told that radiation destroys cells. Well, the plants, the people, and the animals all have cells. There's in the research that Michael did, I think he stated 3 days after the supposed bomb, the trolleys were running. What happened in Hiroshima was no different than what happened in any of the cities that were bombed. And in his research, you will find with scientific rigor that some experts went in and tried to detect the damage left by nukes, and what they found was it didn't exist, and it looked no different than any of the German cities or other Japanese cities that had been bombed.
What started this for me, Crow, and maybe for you too, there was a general with the name of Galen Winsor. Now, this is a nuclear chemist, and he worked in three of the nuclear power plants, I believe, in Washington, Tennessee, and in Illinois. And one day he decided, you know, I want to test this. So he drank radioactive water. He swam in the pools, the radioactive pools. And the man died at the age of 82 with no radiation whatsoever. What's your take on this gentleman, Galen Winsor?
I think he was trying to tell the truth. And here's the thing. If you tried to own any of the elements that he was holding and eating, by the way, some of them, I don't remember whether it was uranium or what it was, but he eats it on camera. You can look it up. And by the way, I heard about Galen Winsor long after I had started doing the research and the podcasts about this. Well, maybe not the podcast, but the research anyhow. So if you want to be able to recognize a good deal of social engineering and psychological operations, you must know something of alchemy. The reason for this is because there is no lie in nature. Now, when we went through school, we were told that was old-fashioned nonsense, and all these things that were negative were said about it as we were told science is better. Well, science and chemistry stand on the shoulders of alchemy. That's a fact. But they still employ the alchemical principles. And the reason they do it is because there is no lie in nature. And if you do it effectively, it will work. Not only will it work, but you can make things, physically make things with alchemy, but you can also transmute the human mind using alchemy. Another person that people should look up if they want to know something about the psychological operations that have been going on in this world for centuries is Michael Hoffman. He was a co-author with James Shelby Downard on one of the most important texts I've come across called King Kill 33. In King Kill 33, you will get a lesson. The only place I think you can get it these days is from Michael Hoffman's website called Revisionist History. You can use the contact form at crow777radio.com if you have trouble finding any of these things, and Rose and I will steer you. Getting back to the alchemy, Galen Winsor said all these things and people didn't know what to make of it. But consider this, if you were to get a hold of any of those elements, you'd be jailed. All the uranium, all the plutonium, all these things are under lock and key. Why? Because they are powerful. And I suspect, and I can't prove this, that they were very incredibly important for the alchemists in the old days, the amazing things they could do. Not to mention, maybe some of these elements might give us free energy or something. That's a flat out guess, but I'm pointing out. But let's get into the idea of alchemy just for a minute so I can try to explain to you why a basic understanding of alchemy will let you or help you to see when nonsense is being presented and social engineering is coming to knock at your door. If you recognize it, you're not as likely to fall for it. In the New Cokes, the key symbol from alchemy and other ancient arts is going to be the mercury symbol. If you're listening right now, grab a search engine, do a quick search for mercury symbol. What you will find is a cross with a little circle on top and what looks like horns on top of the head. Okay, that's the mercury symbol. For those people that want to have a very good grasp of alchemy, there's a book called Spagyrics that is spelled S-P-A-G-Y-R-I-C-S. What Spagyrics is the alchemy of the plant kingdom. And what can be done with Spagyrics is amazing. But if you get that book, you will more than grasp what I am about to try to convey to you. By the way, the man who wrote that book was a chemist and an alchemist. So it is so fantastic to hear him say, well, chemists look at it this way, but the alchemists look at it this way. And it draws a million lines. But once you comprehend something about the alchemical processes that the ruling elite use, here, I'll give an example. The Trinity, the Holy Trinity of alchemy, or one of the Holy Trinities, the main Holy Trinity, is salt, sulfur, and mercury. Now, mercury is a symbol, as I just told you, but you also know that it's like quicksilver. You know what mercury is. In the book Spagyrics, you'll learn that when you use processes to break down plant matter, you break it down to spirit, body, and soul. The spirit of almost every plant is alcohol, methyl or ethyl alcohol. And this is why, to this day, when you walk into a liquor store on the hard liquor, what does it say? It says spirits. Now, you've never been told this, but that example clearly shows that there's a kickback to this older way of knowing things. Now, of the three things that I just told you, salt, sulfur, and mercury is a water element representing the life essence of the plant. The very alcohol extract of the plant is the carrier of life essence. This will apply to things like the Gerson method, which was used to cure cancers and things. Now, salt is an earth element representing the vegetable salts extracted from the calcined ashes of a plant body. And lastly, sulfur is the fire element, the virtue of the plant, representing the volatile oil or the essence of the plant. Now that you know a little bit about this, if you look at the mercury symbol, here and there, I'll draw lines to let you see how it was used in the New Cokes. The rooster is also a symbol of mercury, of the alchemical process. For those who've never heard it, the rooster or the rooster is of the most electrical beings that walk the earth. This is why when the sun comes up, they cock-a-doodle-doo, because they're so electric, they have that connection. Now, as an example of a connection to alchemy, where was the first, do you remember, Mel, where the first nuclear blast supposedly happened?
Trinity, you mean?
There you go. Trinity and White Sands. These are also encoding alchemical ideas. The Trinity I just explained to you, salt, sulfur, and mercury. That is one of the meanings. But let's go into the base of how this all started. Way back in God knows when, they were going to invent the story of the radioactive materials. And I'm not saying radioactive materials don't exist. They do. But again, look up Galen Windsor. You have not been told the truth about them. Marie Curie was used to do that. And there's a YouTube channel, or there was, they censor him a lot, called Hoax Buster, who has done the best job I have ever seen of breaking down what I'm about to tell you. First of all, Mel, say Marie Curie three times fast.
Mercury. Sounds like Mercury.
Sounds like Mercury. It is, in fact. I am of a mind that Marie Curie never existed as a human being. People might have problems with that, but I will carry on from there. So Marie Curie is put in place as the foundation for the beginning of this radioactive story that's going to culminate in these bombs that don't exist. And they're going to convince the world that there's a magical red button on the president's desk that can end us all. Anyhow, she had a husband, Pierre. Now, Pierre did the work right with her, but for some reason, he was never awarded the Nobel Prize and all the things that Marie was, and he was written out of history. Well, poor Pierre died. The official story of Pierre Curie's demise is that he died in a street accident in Paris on 19 April 1906. Crossing the busy Rue Dauphine in the rain at the Quai de Conti, he slipped and fell under a heavy horse-drawn cart. He died instantly when one of the wheels ran over his head, fracturing his skull. Statements made by his father and lab assistant imply that poor Pierre Curie's characteristic was an absent-minded preoccupation with his thoughts, which clearly contributed to his death. His passing was in all the papers at the time, but a particularly detailed and gruesome telling of the incident was in the newspaper La Humanité, which was founded in 1904 by known socialists and later became a communist paper. What if I told you that Pierre Curie's death was manufactured and that it simply encodes the Mercury symbol? Would you say that's a bridge too far? Again, go to Hoax Buster's YouTube channel and your mouth will drop open.
So is it that they concocted this male so that the wife could be concocted as well?
I don't accept that they were real people. I suppose it's possible that were people there that were labeled or maybe even played the role to some extent, but it's all manufactured. And back in that day, it was unusual for women to take the spotlight space in things like science, which Marie Curie clearly did. In 1911, count the ways, 9/11, she gets the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm reasonably sure Pierre was never honored. He was basically written out of history and forgot. But to get back to Pierre's death, it's encoding the Mercury symbol. It's a poke in her eye. In the same way, Marie Curie's name is a poke in her eye because we can't quite catch on that it just sounds like Mercury. It's just another way to say the word Mercury. Now, the husband dies in this made-up way, from my point of view, to further substantiate the Mercury symbol. Where did he die? At the crossroads. How did he die? A wagon wheel rolled over his head. Now, look at the Mercury symbol. You've got the crossroads and the cross. That's what it is. You can look it up, and it will tell you that's what it is. Then the little circle on top of the cross is poor Pierre's head, and the little horn-looking thing at the top is the wagon wheel crushing his head. And again, Hoax Buster does a knock-up job showing the lines here. But anyhow, I've been talking for a minute. you want to get a word in, Edge?
No, that's fine. Yeah, let me just interject for a moment about when you presented this Marie Curie, Mercury, I immediately started thinking, what if there are other characters in history, including Neil Armstrong, or say Galileo, galactic? The name Galileo evokes galactic, aligns him to stars and celestial exploration, or Isaac Newton, new tone of science. Edward Bernays, you probably know that name, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, naysayer, aligning with, creating propaganda and shaping dissent. Ignatius Loyola, igniting the faith. And I could go on and on and on.
There you go. Because we were not in school, we were not taught to think in the way that you were thinking. And if we had been taught something about alchemy, we would be thinking more about resonances and vibrations and sounds like is like and the word game that gets played. You're absolutely right. It's done over and over and over. And they've gotten away with it for so long, it's been done ad nauseum. But what that means is there's quite a backlog of things out in public.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.